Today on Locked On A's, the A's made a signing, and so did the Cardinals. How does that affect the Sean Murphy trade market? And then we got some draft stuff to talk about. The Rule 5 draft happened, so we're going to talk about the guy that the A's drafted, and very exciting player. And then also the A's lost the draft lottery, so we're going to talk about that as well. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's time for Locked On A's. Stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
How's it going, A's fans, and welcome to episode 502 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, noted baseball fan Jason Burke, and on today's show, we're talking about the A's signing Aledmys Diaz, because that's another guy that the A's needed. The A's are stocking up on utility players, and at some point, I'm going to have to go over this roster and be like, holy crap, everybody plays four or five positions. So that'll be fun, but we're going to talk about Aledmys Diaz today. And then the Cardinals signed a different catcher. So they're out of the Sean Murphy market. What does that mean for the Sean Murphy market? We're going to talk about that as well. Also, the A's fell in the draft lottery. They should have been in the top three. They're not. They're way outside of the top three. So we're talking about where they're drafting and what that means. And then finally, we'll talk about the Rule 5 draft, which is one of my favorite times of the year. Because this guy that they got, and basically anybody that you take in the Rule 5 draft, has a chance, a good chance, of being on the opening day roster and being a piece for that team. We've seen it with Mark Canha and Vimy Almachin of late. The A's also, you know, had Kai Tom, and they've had some misses too, but they tend to, I feel like they do well. So we're going to talk about the guy that they added from the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's somebody that the A's have reportedly been after in previous trades from the Dodgers, so now they have him. And all they got to do is keep him. That's all they got to do. But before we get into anything, thank you so much for making Locked On A's your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where you can go see all of this energy and excitement and just insanity on YouTube with eyes. So go do that and subscribe to the channel over there. Make sure to give us a like and comment below, because it helps the algorithm. It helps grow the show. And that is what we are trying to do here at Locked On A's, because I like providing A's coverage to you guys, and A's fans deserve it. So help me help A's fans by just giving us a like and a comment. That's all. And a subscribe. Just those things. Those three things. And then more A's coverage for everybody. Also, make sure to follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. And if you want more A's coverage, there's another place you can go, and that is Inside the A's. It is a site where I cover things very quickly over there. There's Rule 5 articles up there. There's the Aledmys Diaz signing. There's the Jace Peterson signing. There's all the stuff that you need that the A's have been doing this week. It's all up there, and it's analyzed already. So go to Inside the A's and go check out some A's news and analysis. Follow Inside the A's on Twitter and on Facebook so you never miss an article. But let's talk about what the A's have done so far today. It's been interesting. The A's have been doing things, which is odd, because usually they wait until, like, February? Like, roughly, right before pitchers and catchers report. That is when they like to strike. But no, not this year. They have spent a few million dollars. We don't know the Jace Peterson contract yet, so they've spent some amount of money on free agents at the winter meetings. And somebody was like, hey, wasn't that a lot of money for Aledmys Diaz? It's 2 years and $14.5 million total, not per year. And I was like, well, generally, I would say that maybe he would get like 2 and 10 in a normal, you know, like last offseason. But normally, after a CBA is agreed upon, the first offseason that you get with that new CBA, teams are spending a little bit more money. And so the market might be a little bit higher for a guy like Aledmys Diaz, who is a good player. He's not like a bad player. He's maybe a little bit like league average with the bat, but a solid defender. And that seems to be the kind of guy that the A's are going after. I got some stats for you guys to get you super revved up about Aledmys Diaz, because the A's are making moves. In 327 plate appearances in 2022, he hit .243 with a .387 on base. The on base, not great. The average is whatever. He has a .320 career on base, so I assume that that's going to go up a little bit. He also had a 95 OPS plus, so just 5% below league average. And the A's said that they were looking to make upgrades. They were a bad team last year, so that is an upgrade. Roughly league average bat, that's an upgrade. He also, because I look at everybody now, his strikeout rate is just 16.2%, which is exactly the kind of guy that the A's are going after, is guys that don't strike out much. And Aledmys Diaz, come on down. Here's $14.5 million. In 2022, he played left field and second base, which is scary if you like Tony Kemp, because those are his positions. But if you like Tony Kemp, he also played over at third base in 2021 for like 30 games and was very good over there. I think he had like 8 outs above average. Very solid defender at third base, so he can play basically anywhere. So it doesn't necessarily mean that Tony Kemp's getting traded, but they've brought in a lot of guys that do a lot of the same things that Tony Kemp does for like way more money too, which is strange. But it leads me to believe maybe they're working against themselves or for themselves by signing all these guys that do all the things that Tony Kemp does, and they're like, oh, hey, White Sox, you still need a second baseman? Well, that's how much they usually cost. Our guy costs $3.9 million. He's half the price. Now give us more prospects. The A's are playing like 10-dimensional chess right now. I love it. He's had some health issues. He's had trouble staying healthy. That is what health issues means. He has had problems with both his left and his right groin, with discomforts and strains. And I think the left side had discomfort this past season. In 2020, he had a right groin strain, so there's that. He also broke his hand. Well, he didn't. Somebody else did for him, because he was hit by a pitch in 2021, and he missed some time there. So he's had a hard time staying on the field, but if he's healthy, he's been a solid guy. I will say that. He also hit 12 home runs last year, which might have been a career high. I'd have to look. But that was a decent amount for him. And, you know, good job. We'll see what he can do with the bat with the A's. At the very least, he's bringing over all of the Houston Astros secrets. So that's a plus. That is worth $14.5 million. But let's move over to a signing that the A's didn't make and how that could impact what the A's are trying to do this entire winter meeting. That's trading Sean Murphy, because the St. Louis Cardinals just signed, well, not just, it happened like 12 hours ago at this point, but they signed Wilson Contreras to a 5-year, $87.5 million deal. That is, that's some good money for Wilson Contreras. Good for him. So the Cardinals are out of the Sean Murphy sweepstakes. And you gotta believe that one of two things is now the case. One, other teams don't have their backup plan in Wilson Contreras anymore. I mean, they could go with like Christian Vasquez, but that's like the only other guy, or, you know, Toronto backstops. But the backup plans are dwindling, and so that could mean that other teams are going to be, you know, coming to the table and meeting the A's asking price. So that's option number one, is this is actually good for the A's, even though the Cardinals were the team that I said that he would probably land with, just because he seemed like the nice replacement for Yadier Molina. But taking the Cubs backstop, that's going to be nice for Cardinals fans. So good on them, I guess. The other thing that could be at play here is that the A's are just asking for too dang much. And maybe they're expecting to. I mean, as an A's fan, I'm fine with that. Go get that bounty. But maybe they're asking for too much and they're not being flexible enough. We have seen, you know, on yesterday's show, I said that they're using the media more than I think that I've seen them do in many of their previous seasons. And maybe it's working against them. Maybe they're playing too hard. Maybe cool off on that one a little bit. It feels like Sean Murphy like doesn't have to go, but he kind of has to go for everything to work out. So yeah, I guess we'll see on that. So with the Aledmys Diaz signing and everybody, yeah, I mean, he's not officially signed yet. It's still pending a physical and, you know, his groin, they got to check that groin. And Jace Peterson is also, his signing is also pending a physical. So the A's 40-man roster is currently at 39 after their Rule 5 draftee was added to the 40-man roster. So with those two signings, they'll be at 41. That means somebody has to go. Either the A's are going to be making a trade, and I don't think that it would be a Sean Murphy trade because you would hope to get somebody that's 40-man roster worthy in that trade. So I don't think that it's that. So either somebody's getting traded, or you're going to DFA somebody and, you know, just remove them from the roster. And I don't know who that's going to be necessarily. It might depend on where the A's are feeling that they're looking okay. But, you know, they got some guys with options. They got some guys that could theoretically make it through waivers and they'd be okay. But there's going to be another move coming. That's all that I know. And that, you know, it stinks because I like these guys. I like the group of guys that the A's have, even though the A's lost 102 games this year. I like them. But coming up on the show, we're going to talk about some other guys that we're going to like pretty soon, hopefully. First up, we're going to talk about the draft, the big draft, the rule, not the rule five, no, the rule four draft, the one that you're familiar with, the June draft. We're going to talk about that and how the A's fell from grace and how it was very expected. So stay locked in, you guys. At Locked On A's, we believe that home should be where you and your family feel safest, especially over the holidays. This season, give yourself and your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system, SimpliSafe. And right now, SimpliSafe is offering Locked On A's listeners 40% off a new security system, but don't put this off. SimpliSafe was named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report a third year in a row. And they have 24/7 professional monitoring service that costs under a dollar a day, less than half the price of traditional home security systems. With the top-rated SimpliSafe app, stay in complete control of your home. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, or adjust system settings anytime, anywhere. Don't miss your chance to save big on my favorite security system. Get 40% off of any new system at simplisafe.com/lockedonmlb today. That's simplisafe.com/lockedonmlb. There's no safe like a SimpliSafe. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe on YouTube specifically, but also anywhere you like podcasts. But go to YouTube, subscribe over there. It helps. Trust me, it helps grow a lot faster than just subscribing on Apple, because the Apple is not going to move me to the top of the charts, but YouTube will. So go to YouTube, please. Also, make sure to follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm @ByJasonB on Twitter. Make sure to follow Inside the A's both on Twitter and on Facebook for more A's insight and analysis coming from this guy. My hand didn't make it all the way into the camera, so it just felt like there was a finger that came out of nowhere. That was fun. Anyways, let's talk about last night's draft lottery, and the A's had the best odds to get the top pick, or one of the top three picks, and they got pick number six. They got a pick six, which is funny because they drafted Kyler Murray once, and he throws interceptions. So a pick six. I said earlier in the day that I was feeling pick six vibes for some reason. And I said that maybe it was because the A's have drafted sixth, you know, in recent years. They've had that pick a couple of times now. And also the A's can't have nice things. And so I knew that they wouldn't get the top pick because, you know, history. So, read your history books, folks. But yeah, it just didn't feel like the A's were going to be getting a good pick with this one. And that stinks. But the Pirates got one. They got the top pick. And so yay for them, I guess. And the Nationals, they only dropped one spot to number two. So that's still cool for them. The Tigers, I mean, they still stink and all. But holy crap, how many top draft picks did they need? That's the funny thing. I was watching this on MLB Network, and they were like, oh, this is how you change the direction of a franchise. And they were talking about it like it was the NBA, which is very silly because they were like, look at all these number one picks that have really had an impact on their teams and just really changed the trajectory of their team over the span of their careers. And it's like Ken Griffey Jr. and Bryce Harper, who's not with the team anymore, and also Chipper Jones. They went back like almost 40 years to find five guys That doesn't necessarily mean game changer to me. So that made me feel better that they didn't, I mean, not better that they didn't get the number one pick, because obviously you want to take whoever you want. But as David Forrest said to reporters afterwards, that they get less money to play around with. They get like a few million dollars less to go and sign other guys and kind of make some of those splurges and maybe go a little bit above slot for some guys that they might not have access to otherwise. So that kind of stinks for their draft strategy. But in terms of just picking guys, you know, 1 through 6, they'll probably be okay. They'll figure it out if there's somebody there, and then go do whatever you do. But they were really trying to hype up the draft lottery, and it kind of fell flat for me because I've watched baseball for a long time. But I think that they were trying to get, you know, the casual fan very amped about what could this mean for the Pirates, who have had so many high picks and still they're looking to trade Brian Reynolds right now. They've got some nice picks. And also the A's took I'm not going to talk about him necessarily, but was it Joelvis Del Rosario, I believe. They took him. He's a 21-year-old right-hander. They took him in the minor league portion of the Rule 5 draft. So he doesn't have to be on the A's 40-man roster at all. He just has to not be returned, I think. So, and he was a solid guy. He's a ground ball pitcher. He seemed good. So the A's just depleted the Pirates system. And I'm assuming that they made that pick specifically because the Pirates stole the number one pick from the A's. That's my guess, at the very least. So the A's didn't get the number one pick. They don't get a top five pick. That stinks. I was hoping for top three or top five. They got top six. Sure. Whatever. That's great. We've been there before, and they've gotten A.J. Puck and Austin Beck. A.J. Puck's finally doing some stuff now. So there's that. Also, they took Kyler Murray at 9 a few years ago. So I think that they can be fine with the number 6 pick. You can find good players at number 6. Barry Bonds was a number 6 pick. Gary Sheffield, number 6 pick. Granted, we're going back another 40 years again. And there was lots of Hall of Famers in those classes. But you can find talent at 6 in the right draft. And this seems like a talented draft. There was a point there. I'm going to pause this and we'll get back to it. That's what it was. The key to this draft is going to be don't draft Kyler Murray. That's the thing. Don't do that. Don't do something stupid. If you draft, like, they're probably not going to draft a pitcher because this is not what they've done. But if you draft a pitcher and he just, you know, has Tommy John and it never pans out, that's fine. Because at least you had something. With Kyler Murray, he signed and then you got nothing. So you didn't even get the compensation pick the next year. So don't let anybody sign that's going to go play football for a while. Don't do that. Don't do stupid things. That's all that I'm asking. Is don't do stupid things with the pick six, the sixth pick in the draft. Don't do that. That's all that I want. And maybe like a game changer. Maybe draft Barry Bonds. I don't know. See what happens. But there's going to be plenty of picks. We'll have plenty of coverage for the MLB draft coming up because, you know, I know Lindsey Crosby. He knows prospects. And so we're going to have his knowledge on my show. It's going to be great. And we'll talk about the draft all the friggin' time because the A's, I mean, they've signed Jace Peterson and Aledmys Diaz. But they might not be good still next year. So we're going to probably focus on the draft a little bit. So that'll be subscribe to the channel. You'll hear a lot of draft talk here in the coming months. But coming up on the show, we're going to have more draft talk because we're talking about the Rule 5 draft and the guy that the A signed who might be their first baseman come opening day. Let's talk about it. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. We've got it all at BetOnline.net. I saw the replay today. Morocco was taking on Spain, and I know that Morocco wins the game, but just like the Japan game a few days ago, which nobody let me know who won in the comments. Get on that, you guys. But it went to penalties, and then I had to go take care of my son. So I don't know. I don't know like how many goals they scored on penalties, but good job, Morocco. That was a shocker. The World Cup is fun. And see, the cool thing about the World Cup, and maybe place a bet on the World Cup, is because Like, Morocco won that game. They're still in, like, eighth place, I guess. But that could be, like, the biggest thing that they talk about for, like, the next four World Cups is Morocco beat Spain, and that's pretty friggin' cool. So World Cup is amazing. And if you love sports podcasts, and I'm guessing you do because you're listening to one currently, you can find those over at BetOnline as well. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fixed, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more, because BetOnline, that's where the game starts. Welcome back to the Locked On Ace podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show and you've made it this far, please leave us a five-star review on your platform of choice. And if you haven't, for some reason, subscribe to the YouTube channel because it's fantastic. It's this face all the time talking about the A's. Also, make sure to follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm a ByJasonB on Twitter. If you have any questions for us, hit me up on either ByJasonB or Locked On A's. I'll talk about it on the show. Why not? Because the winter meetings are almost over, and we're going to have lots of just random things to talk about. So send me your questions. I'm all ears. Also, make sure to check out Inside the A's. Maybe I'll open up the mailbag over at Inside the A's and just write about some of your questions as well. So follow Inside the A's on Twitter and on Facebook so you never miss an article over there. More insight and analysis. You gotta love it. A stuff all the time. This guy. But let's talk about the Rule 5 draft, where the A's selected second overall. They got to keep the second pick in this draft because they stunk. They selected Ryan Noda. Great name. I love it. I don't know what number he wears, but Noda sounds like a good time. He's a first baseman. They drafted him from the Dodgers. As I said before, he's entering his age 27 season. He's going to turn 27 like right before March 30th. I don't know what opening day is, but it's right around then. So maybe it's on March 30th. Maybe he gets to make the big leagues for his birthday. That would be fun, I would imagine. But in AAA last year, he hit .259 with a .396 OBP and an .870 OPS. He's a walks machine. I believe his career average middle of the season was like 13.3% walk rate. He can just get on base. He can get on base. That's what he can do. He's great at that. So I like it. He also hit 25 home runs. He slugged 23 doubles. He stole 20 bases. That's a heck of a stat line. His speed is apparently a 30 on the 20 to 80 scale, but he got 20 stolen bases somehow. So I don't know. I like it. Pair him with Ricky Henderson. I want to see Ryan Noda getting tips and tricks from the greatest of all time, Ricky Henderson. That sounds like a good time. Also, Ryan Noda is a lefty swinging bat, and you know that I love a good lefty first baseman. Why not? Righty first baseman, I know. I love Dermis Garcia, but lefty first baseman, that's where it's at, you guys. He's a solid defender at first. He's got good hands. His range is a little bit iffy, but he's got solid hands, so he can pick it. I like that. He's a little bit iffy in the corner outfield positions, but he can play corner outfield as well. So there's that. If the A's, you know, want to stick with Dermis Garcia or Seth Brown at first base, which they probably don't want to use Seth Brown there, they probably want to use him elsewhere in the outfield. But, you know, they have options with this guy. Utility. Another utility guy. He can play three friggin' positions. Baseball America said on their podcast before the draft that Noda was better than 10 current first basemen in the major leagues. So the A's are doing okay right there. So that led me to look at where the A's ranked among those. And they were probably one of those 10, because I don't know if they were including Seth Brown at first base. And if they weren't, then yeah, that makes sense, I guess. But the A's first baseman in 2022, they were 21st in WAR, according to Fangraphs. Most of that, I think, like, all of the positive of that was from Seth Brown, and then other guys were bad, like Billy McKinney. He was bad. Dermis Garcia was decent, but he wasn't, you know, great. But Seth Brown was most of that, and they probably want to use him elsewhere. So I assume that Ryan Noda will be a nice improvement over there and improve a spot on the diamond. They were also 22nd in WRC+, with like a 93, so they were 7% below league average. Not great. A lot of that was Seth Brown. So Ryan Noda makes it so that Seth Brown does not have to play first base. He can go roam the outfield and be great over there and just do. Or, you know, maybe they're going to trade Seth Brown and who knows what the hell is going on. Maybe that is actually what's going on here is they know that Seth Brown's not going to be around. So they need a first baseman that's not Dermis Garcia, who strikes out 44% of the time. Ryan Nota strikes out like 28% of the time, which is right in line with what I said Dermis Garcia needed to do. So Dermis, get on that 29.9. That's what I'm talking about. 29.9% strikeout rate. That's all you got to do. Dermis has, you know, three options left, I believe. So he's fine. He'll stay with the organization. He just needs to work on making a little more contact is really all that it is, because he's got the power. He hit like 2-0 something, but and his on base was okay, but he's got power, and I like that. Maybe he can be the DH. Who knows? We'll see what happens here, but I'm guessing that with the signings of Jace Peterson and also Aledmys Diaz in the last couple of days, Jordan Diaz's tenure, I guess, with the on the roster might not be on opening day. Maybe it's a little bit later, or, you know, when Aledmys Diaz gets hurt. So I'm intrigued to see what other moves happen, and then we can start piecing together what the roster is going to look like. Who are they going to trade? That's really what I want to know. Is it Tony Kemp? Is it Sean Murphy getting traded now? Well, maybe. He was supposed to be traded on Sunday. It is nearly it's 5 o'clock on Wednesday. That is not soon or nearly done. So that's bad reporting. He might not even get traded. Oh, if he doesn't get traded, I'm retweeting that. I don't know. I'm gonna do something. Anyways, that's all that I got for you guys today. Thank you again so much for making Locked On A's your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. For your second listen today, go check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local experts and insights and analysis that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today is available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. So wherever you're listening to this, go find Locked On Sports Today, because Peter Bukowski, very handsome man, knows his stuff. Go listen to him as well. But that's it for me today, you guys. So until next time, go out and celebrate good times, Ace fans, and I'll talk at you tomorrow.